Going. Again, I'll start again from the beginning. The operating environment over the past 6 months is certainly significantly better than the last six months of last year, but not better than the first 6 months, the comparative period. And the reason for that is very clearly the world financial system really got into difficulty in September last year. And for our type of business, in the markets that we were operating in, we were better off in the first 6 months of last year. So what we have seen is a strong recovery in equity markets in this 6 months compared to the second six months of last year. However, they weren't significantly above where equity markets ended up in September 8. Only 6%, the FTSE is only up 6%, the All Share, JSE All Share up 5%, and the Aussie All Ords up 2%. But significantly up since March. You did see the collapse of credit around about this time last year, and you saw significant recovery in credit markets in this particular six-month period. We have experienced very weak sterling, and obviously that has had some translation impact on our results, mostly positive, where sterling has had significant depreciation against most currencies since September last year. Some recovery against the euro and the US dollar since March, but certainly significant depreciation since September. And then clearly we have been in a low interest rate environment for this 6 months across all geographies. Interest rates on average are down by about 4.5% across any single geography that you want to think about. So that has also had quite a sharp effect on our endowment earnings. I think, notwithstanding this, our solid base of recurring income together with strong principal activity in the period has helped us see operating income grow, that's top line income, grow by 6.8% during the period under review. I think together with our diversified business model, and we've always had the belief that having diversity in one's business model enables one to ride storms a lot better than having a single business model. Together with operating profits across all geographies, so all geographies were profitable, South Africa was down, the UK and Europe were up, and Australia was down. Enable us to have a very stable performance, and you can see that operating profit before impairments was up 10%, operating profit before tax was down 11%, and attributable earnings down 3%, with our adjusted earnings per share down 8.75%, and dividends, we decided to keep our dividend flat on this compared to this time last year. So overall, what we would consider to be a particularly stable performance. I think what was very pleasing was a strong growth in customer deposits. We have made a point of this over the last while, which was up 24%. Our loans and advances were up 7%, but that was really mostly currency effects, so they were relatively flat in all geographies. We did point out at the trading update that there was very little demand for credit. That situation still exists. And what was also exceptionally pleasing was the growth in funds under management, which is up 29% to just under £63 billion, and that's our peak level in our history. And that obviously wasn't on average higher than the equivalent trading period last year, but does augur well for the future. On our financial targets, there are two financial targets that would be very difficult to achieve in this environment. The one is return on equity, that was 14.8% for the 6 months, against an historic target of 20%. Obviously, the new capital regime's coming, and we'll have to work out whether a 20% ROE is going to be achievable under the new capital regimes. Most people think not, and we'll have to relook at that target in time. Our EPS growth, obviously we're in a very difficult economic cycle, and therefore it's difficult to grow earnings, so that's not a target that we could achieve in this kind of environment. We did improve our cost to income ratio. It is well below our target, and again we've mentioned before that target would have to be re-looked at, and it was down to 56.1% from 58%. Our dividend cover was at the upper end of our range, but not the very upper end of our range, at 3 times. And we met our capital adequacy targets that we set in November last year, quite a lot earlier than we originally anticipated. I think a big feature of the results is clearly, which we mentioned in our trading update, is our balance sheet strength. We've seen a very strong build-up of liquidity at the end of September. We had £6.6 billion of cash and near cash, and that situation still exists today. I think last night we had £6.7 billion, and I think we've continued to diversify our funding sources. We've maintained very low reliance on interbank wholesale funding, and we've clearly always had a policy of limiting concentration risk and not relying on any large depositors who would get nervous or whatever the case may be. I think, as I said earlier, all our capital targets have been met. Certainly, we didn't think we'd get to our Tier 1 targets by this time this year. We said end of 2010, but we did manage to do a small capital placing, which we used to buy back debt, which we did in end of July, which helped our PLC capital targets, and the rest were moving in that direction anyway. So right across the spectrum, we are within our capital range and have achieved our Tier 1 target that we set out November last year. I think we've continued to be a lowly leveraged bank, and I think that's also helped us navigate the storm. I think you can see our loan to capital ratio is 5.8 times. Our core loans to customer deposits, another very pleasing number for us, is 89.5%. So we now fund all our core loans with customer deposits as opposed to capital market instruments or interbank debt. And I think that is a target that we've also achieved, although we never stated publicly. Total gearing 12.1, and if we exclude securitization, 11.2. So still a very lowly leveraged bank. I think obviously in this kind of cycle we've seen a rise in impairments, and they are in line with our guidance, at the upper end of the guidance. And we did say in our statement that they appear to be peaking, and that is a sense of what we're feeling on the ground, because we're seeing a lot less new stuff come on book, but we still have to deal with the old stuff that is coming on book, and at the same time the book is not growing, so the ratio did kick up a bit. Net of defaults, it was sitting at about 3.9%, all covered by collateral. We know what our collateral is line by line, and we have done, you know, we have a good view on whether we'll recover the money or not. So we are reasonably comfortable. We expect the impairment charge to be similar for the second 6 months, although some of my colleagues think it may be a bit less, but anyway, that's what we feel, and thereafter starting to decline. So it does feel a lot better than it did, and I think that we are well on top of what we are doing. I think if we look at the operational review, this slide is, the numbers are right, but the shape of the graph is a bit wrong, and on the website will be the right graph. So just again demonstrating the diversification of our operating revenue, and obviously the one part of our business which I'll talk about in a moment, which we've had a very difficult time in this period, is the private bank. I'll cover that in a moment. But we still have a very diversified revenue source, as is reflected in this pie chart. I think if we look at private banking, you can see its total revenue is down by about 18%, and that is a consequence of lower levels of activity. Its profit pre-impairments down by 31%. Again, key thing there is lower levels of activity, slight margin squeeze as we built up our deposit base against our relative to our loan portfolios. However, when you take that into consideration, together with this is the part of our business where we take the heat, because we're dealing with private clients who've really taken the heat in this particular market. This is where we've seen the rise in impairments. You're down 74% from an operating profit perspective. The cost-to-income ratio was up as a consequence of the lower revenue, down to 60%, with the ROE obviously pretty low because the business was having those kinds of issues, low activity and rising impairments. So I think the key focus on the private bank over the last while has to be to drive our retail deposit initiatives, and I think this is where it's been exceptionally successful, with a 26% rise in the deposit book. Funds under management relatively flat, loan book marginal growth, mainly in Australia in our professional business there, where there was still a fair amount of activity. The rest of the world, flat. So the key focus is, you know, continuing our deposit diversification initiatives, plus managing our impairments. We are seeing some encouraging signs that trading conditions are starting to turn and a little bit more confidence is creeping in. And I think there are going to be a fair amount of opportunities out there for us, but one would still expect a tough trading period over the next while. I think if we look at our private client portfolio management and stockbroking business, I think this business held up well. Operating earnings again were down 9%, and that was partially because of lower average funds under management during the period and lower levels of activity. But I think the important thing here is if you look at the funds under management at the end of the period compared to the average, they're up 28%, so they're over 20 billion quid, which includes Rensburg Shepherd, and I think that augurs well for the second half and for the future if markets manage to retain their current levels. So also similar to fund management businesses, looking forward is better than looking back if life holds. I think capital markets again had a particularly good performance, muted a little bit by impairments, but certainly a lot more activity in this particular space, a lot more opportunity in this space. Therefore, the rise in pre-impairment operating profit was about 34%, but only operating profit at the end of the day was up only 2% because of still high impairments. And I think that, you know, we believe that this is still a space that one can do well in over the next while. The impairments are starting to slow down. I think there's very little corporate default in South Africa. In the UK, there's still some issues floating around. Australia, we also think that it is an area that is slowing down a lot and there are a fair amount of opportunities. We did have quite a good performance from Kensington. We said they're stable, but I think it was slightly better than stable. We made £25 million. I think you've seen a significant shift in house price inflation, although we still estimating a decline in terms of how we provision of 7.5%. It actually, for this calendar year, house price inflation is actually up 2% on most indices. So it is looking a lot better than people anticipated, and we've continued to do quite well there. I think overall, we believe that we're quite well positioned in all three geographies. South Africa activity levels are still quite slow, as corporates are not borrowing at all and are building up cash. And trading volumes are down as volatility has dropped off. In the UK, although we expect impairments to continue, there are good trading activities and a lot of opportunities out there as portfolios are continually being restructured, and there are positions for us to take in markets that we historically were unable to get to. Certainly in the mid-sized corporate market, we are starting to try and build a franchise. A similar thing applies to us in Australia, where there are very good opportunities in the infrastructure and PPR space. We're seeing that we're able to participate in transactions that were mispriced from our point of view before, that where you can get a decent return now, and I think that augurs quite well for that business going forward. So overall, a good performance from capital markets. I think investment banking and improved performance in some spaces. The agency and advisory business was still experiencing low levels of activity. I think that all the story was up at the bulge bracket space in the large corporate space, and I think it's starting to drip down, and that's why we expect this sort of season to be a lot better for us going forward. We certainly beefed up our capability here in the UK with the hiring of a team from Dresdner Kleinwort Benson. They only joined us, I think, in April, so the momentum is starting to pick up. We've done the same in Australia by hiring a resource team into the Australian business. They only joined us now or next month, I'm not exactly sure, but we've just hired them. And we're starting to beef up that activity because we think it's an area that in our particular space we can do quite well in. Principal investments was up 13%. I think that was better performance from our principal activities in the UK and Australia, and a stable performance in South Africa. We're still making losses on our consolidated investments, although the one is now profitable, having been through a very difficult period. The other is more a start-up situation and will turn profitable in about a year to 18 months' time. So we will still see those losses coming through for the time being. But overall, operating profit down about 6% in the period. And I think if we look at asset management, I think although operating profit is down, again, that's because the averages for the 6 months were lower than the 6 months of the previous period. What is very encouraging is the level of growth in funds under management. Now, that is not only from the fact that equity markets have gone up and the pound has weakened against other currencies that we, you know, we have money in. It's also that we had very strong growth in new inflows, about £2.1 billion in the six-month period. That's record inflows for us as an organization, and I think that the business is in good shape. It was untarnished by the crisis, and therefore the brand is very well held in most eyes. So it also has had good performance, and I think that there is a lot of positive momentum in this business. We're not shifting our strategy. We have distribution right around the world, all the continents, but we manufacture just in London and Cape Town, and a lot of our products are global products, and I think that puts us in a good position. So good performance in terms of gathering funds under management. Property was slightly up. I think we're starting to see the development of our businesses in both the UK and Australia are gaining traction, and we've had a reasonable performance from our investment portfolio, and I think notwithstanding property being perceived as a weak sector, there are a lot of opportunities in that space that as people withdraw. So there are weaker property fundamentals, but there's still lots of opportunities for us to enhance our existing portfolios, which is what we are doing, and concentrating on building our property funds under management. And then on group services, you can see that we had very strong performance in central funding. That was as a consequence of our debt buybacks. However, it was also negatively offset by the very low return we get on our own funds, down by about 4.5% on £2.5 billion of funds. So the one helped us, the other cost us money, but as life normalizes, you know, your return on your surplus funds will start coming back when interest rates start rising again, but not for the next while. And then central costs were marginally up, but a lot of that would have just been exchange rate. So overall, a strong performance from the center. Our tax rate was down much more than anticipated. I think that was partially as a consequence of changes in legislation here in the UK, where we had provisions for tax that will no longer be required, and partially as a consequence of some of our revenue being non-taxable. And that's the key reason for the lower tax rate. Our weighted shares were up to 669. I think that number we sort of gave you and was pretty correct at the guidance. We had a marginal write-down of goodwill in the asset management business in South Africa. It does amortize because we bought a business probably 8-9 years ago that is, you know, its value is just amortizing out of our system, and there are still marginal write-offs in that space, but very, very little left. And then we've still got this minority interest thing that causes a lot of headache to everyone. Really, the investments in the private equity, the consolidated investments have a big minority, and we have to recognize those losses that I spoke about earlier are consolidated out through this line. And we still have euro preferred securities, which are hedged, and the income may go through the top line and come out of the minority line. There's no bottom line effect, and there was marginal other impact on minorities. So that's just for those people who like to balance everything, just to give you some update. I think if we look at our strategy, and last time we spoke about our realignment of the business model and trying to balance operational risk with financial risk, I think the key thing for us was taking advantage of opportunities. I think over the past 2 years we have been a very defensive organization, concentrating on managing our balance sheet and ensuring that we have build up our capital and our liquidity. I think we have seen the stabilization of the financial system and are encouraging all our operating units to move on to the front foot right across our core geographies. I think we have seen a changing competitive landscape. I think that there are a lot of opportunities for us in the principal investment space and in the underwriting space, in the investment banking arena, and we're starting to see that kind of requirement come from our clients. I think in capital markets, the opportunities still exist in the structured credit space and selected lending areas in the infrastructure and PPI initiatives in some of the geographies. It's not a place that one will want to go mad in, and one will be wanted remain very selective. Asset management have widened their distribution channel to all continents and are therefore able to sell their products into all continents, and that has gained a lot of transaction, and we still see quite a lot of opportunity in the property space as some clients feel, you know, won't make it through the bad cycle. I think on building new platforms, clearly just coming out of defensive mode, there's only a bit to talk about. We've acquired a small institutional stockbroking team in Australia. We hired people in. We didn't buy anything. We've set up a structured equity retail distribution platform in the UK that has taken in about 650 odd million pounds of structured retail type, mainly deposits, and that has gone very well. We have set up a corporate desk in the UK marketing treasury solutions, foreign exchange and interest rates to the UK corporate market. That is also gaining good traction, and we're seeing good progress on that front. And we've also set up an asset-backed institutional securities distribution team in the UK. So some progress, some movement, but I think with us lots more to come. I think on building non-lending revenue, did see a dip in non-lending revenue because of the conditions that we were operating within, but an increase in trading revenue in this particular period. I think what's important is the growth in funds under management, up 29% to £62.8 billion. Remember, when we were previously at just on 60, we did sell a business called GrowthPoint, which would have reduced our funds under management by £2 billion. So this is a peak number for us, and hopefully it augurs well for the future. There are lots of other initiatives that we are undergoing to build non-lending revenue up. So as we said, we experienced record inflows into our asset management business of £2.1 billion, and we've set up all our distribution channels around the world, and that is starting to gain traction. Our private client activities are looking to, you know, for opportunities in the private client businesses, and hopefully we'll have something to say about that next time round. And obviously we haven't done anything yet. And then our property activity, we've launched a REIT fund in London, we've launched a private client property fund in London, we're launching an unlisted property fund in South Africa, and we're busy adding on new funds in Australia as we speak. And then in capital markets, we continue to see strong growth in distributing structured products. We also said that we would have moderate loan growth. Well, I think it speaks for itself. It's up 7% and the bulk of that is in currency. We're obviously open for business and would like to see the loan books grow a bit more now, and that our balance sheet has been strengthened to the point that it has. But as we said before, there's still very little demand for credit, and hopefully that starts coming in the right direction. And then building customer deposits, and that was the other thing that we said. I think you can see that customer deposits are up 24% in 6 months. I think that is a significant achievement, and it has changed the shape of our balance sheet. And I think I mentioned earlier that our loan deposit ratio is now 89%. I think there are lots of initiatives on that. I think in Australia we've launched all our customer deposit products into our professional business, which was more historically a lending business, and we've seen a lot of traction there. We launched online banking in the UK, and we will launch it in Australia in the not too distant future. We've launched Investec Money in South Africa, and we're seeing quite a lot of inflows. We've increased our customer deposit base for our type of business. It may not sound a lot to a high street bank, but for our type of business, 21,000 new customers in about 7 months is a lot of customers, particularly where we don't have branches and everything is done through call centers and telephonically. And we've also launched a corporate deposit initiative in the UK, which has got a significant amount of traction. I think they've taken in over £400 million into that space. So overall, strong initiative on customer deposits. And then on containing costs, I think you saw our costs actually in home currencies decline during the period. Our ratio improved from 58 to 56.1. Our crocodile still got his mouth wide open, and I think we've had, you know, you can see from where we came from in September 2002, just after we listed in London, we had a very tight cost to income ratio with no room for error, and I think we've come a long way. We've grown our revenue by 17% and our expenses by 11%, and I think again that helps us absorb a lot of the issues that were out there over this last while. I think also what has been very important is the building of our brand, and I think that right throughout the crisis we never stopped. We carried on building the brand, we carried on picking on selective opportunities, we managed to pick up the Derby here in the UK, I think, which was a very good opportunity for us to actually bolster our brand in the UK. We picked the Tri-Nations, we picked the New Zealand leg because it was a lot cheaper than the South African leg of the Tri-Nations, and we were very lucky that although South Africa can't win a game here, they managed to win the Tri-Nations in New Zealand, and it was an Investec branded Tri-Nations as opposed to Vodacom in South Africa, which would have paid multiples of what we paid. So I think the brand is very strong. We've also got a lot of recognition both in the business front and on the social responsibility front, both in South Africa and the UK. And I think, again, that the organization has gained a lot of recognition for having come through a very difficult period relatively unscathed and actually in a stronger position than what we went into it in. So, overall, I think the past 2 years we've successfully focused on maintaining a sound balance sheet, increasing both capital and liquidity. Our trading for this first 6 months was comfortably ahead of the second half of last year, about 50% ahead of it. We have had very strong growth in assets under management. We've said that impairments appear to have peaked. We're not writing a guarantee on that. That's why we use the word appear. But it does certainly feel like that at this point in time. And all our business divisions are becoming front-footed. And that we believe that as an organization we're very well placed to capitalize on what we consider to be a very much changed banking landscape. So that's an overview of the results. There's a lot of stuff in the books and on the websites for all the analysts to have a party on. And we're now going to go into question time. And we'll start off. They said I must go London, Joburg, but I'm going to go to Joburg first because... is that okay? I'll go to Joburg first. And we'll see if Ruby's there today.
Thank you. Do we have a couple of questions here?
Ruby.
Thank you. Do we have a couple of questions here?
I'll ask Ruby first, Fran.
Ruby, is he here?
Ruby,
no, he's not here today, Stephen.
Oh,
he's not here today.
He's at Melrose Arts. Okay. Okay, who have we got there?
Any questions?
Any questions?
Thank you. Do you mind identifying yourself first? Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Kosov. It's Louis Finter from Anglo Rand Securities.
Louis, okay. You're a good alternative to Ruby, eh?
Now, I just want to know, you know, we appreciate that you've taken some opportunities, built up some opportunities and some. I just feel, aren't you a little bit too conservative? Everything is recovered quite dramatically. I mean, you could have bought a few of your own shares, you know, and doubled your money.
You're talking about personally or the bank?
The bank.
Louis? No, I think there was a time to be conservative, and we had to be conservative over the last 2 years. The world was in a very difficult space. And, you know, with assets repricing down to the levels they are, there are opportunities out there. So I think, you know, we had to be conservative. You couldn't be gung-ho in this market. We could have been a bit more aggressive in one or two things, but, you know, you didn't know. And you didn't want to go and invest the farm. So we had to do what we did, in our opinion anyway.
Thank you, sir. You're the best.
Thank you, sir. You're the best.
Thank you, Louis. You've been very kind today. Next time I'll ask you first, not Ruby. We got more questions, Barney?
Not at the moment, Stephen. Any more questions before we go back to London? No, nothing, Stephen. Over to you.
No, nothing, Stephen. Over to you.
Okay. We got any questions in London? Can you just tell us who you are, please?
Good morning. It's James Hamilton from Numis Securities.
I've never seen you face to face.
I'll come and have a chat with you after. In terms of the two questions, the first one's on capital structure. I mean, clearly you've hit your tier one objectives,
yes,
and you've got a clear dividend cover policy, which then begs the question, acquisition, risk-weighted asset growth, or buyback with the capital that you generate going forward?
Well, we're not going to do any buybacks. I think that's very clear that that was a false strategy by many, many banks. Banks were buying back shares in 2007 and going to ask their shareholders for billions in 2008, so I don't think you're going to see us doing that. What was your second question? Growth in risk-weighted assets. Obviously, we're open for business and we're prepared to grow our risk-weighted assets in line with what, remaining in line with our capital structure, and we want to take advantage of opportunities. I don't remember your third leg. When we talk about opportunities, and unfortunately we're South African, so we think opportunities when there's a client opportunity and not only an acquisition opportunity. So we're thinking about where there are opportunities out there with our clients as opposed to acquisitions. But clearly our primary driving force is organic growth. We want to get our people on the streets and build their businesses and generate market share. But if there are acquisition opportunities, we look at hundreds of things, but we just haven't seen anything that makes sense to us at this point in time. And we don't know what's going to happen as organizations reshape their business models and whether anything that drops off the bus suits us, but we do believe that there will be something like that, but we haven't seen anything that suited us up to now that would have made sense for us.
Second, if I may.
Got the mic.
Clearly, in the period, you had an excellent performance on the principal transactions line of the P&L. I appreciate that forecasting this is ferociously difficult. I never get anywhere close to the number. I was just wondering if you could pass some comment on the outlook and what you've seen so far on that particular line of the P&L.
Well, last year, the second half, we made 180. You remember the first half we made, I think it was 180, 150, 180, I can't remember. But the first half of last year was pretty dismal because you remember in September you felt the heat and you would have had markdowns and all sorts of things which you wouldn't have had in this period. So it's a question of the outlook for if markets hold, I think we'll still do okay there. If they turn down, that will be a tough space. But one doesn't feel too bad, but obviously this half was pretty good. We won't repeat that. More? Any questions? Any more questions? Just two. Ooh. Okay. Is that it, right? Okay. Thank you very much. Enjoy some tea and coffee and...